Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this video.
Of course, son, you ready?
That was like jazz. Let's do it.
Let's jazz it up.
Well, yep.
Yep. That was a bit of a strange one, wasn't it?
It was kind of disjointed.
It was a little strange.
I still liked it, but not the same level of like wild, blinding, how does this exist?
Yeah.
Which is an unfair bar.
I think the other ones I was like emotionally enthralled with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as cool as the animation is and as fun as Motendo World is, and as neat as it is setting up this life-death story,
yeah,
I did find myself just kind of at a distance with this episode a little bit more than I usually am. I'm not going to like write off this show just because of that.
Greg thinks it went too woke.
Where's Rogue's ass?
Yeah.
Bring it back. Justice for Rogue's booty.
She wasn't even in this episode to have a booty, yeah, but if she was,
oh man, I'd be pissed. Freaking making Mojo lose weight.
Come on. What is this? Body positivity? Then he got fat again and we're supposed to celebrate.
Oh my gosh. Shame.
I don't know which we're shaming.
I don't know.
I think the issue for me was that the Mojo episode was so action-packed, and then Life Death is meant to be somber. So it's hard in one 30-minute window to be like, we're driving 100 miles per hour. Take it down to 20. That is, I think, just a disservice to both, because it felt like Mojo had to end in time for Life Death, and then Life Death had to catch up on an emotional weight that we hadn't had 5 minutes ago.
It's like everything felt serial. See, the thing is, I think there was only 10 episodes here.
Yeah.
Whereas like the original animated series was shorter in runtime per episode by a few minutes. Shorter runtime per episode. But, you know, they would have their episodes that maybe weren't as serialized. Whereas here, I think they're aiming to be a little bit more serialized. So the Mojo one, I kind of accepted that. All right. Yeah, this is probably just like their fun episodic, because Mojo had been in a few, there was a few episodes of Mojo in the original series. So I was like, all right, this is cool. Yeah, and I like what they're doing with the video game and the animation. I thought that was a lot of fun. And getting to have a Jubilee focus episode, that was a lot of fun. And then it was like, no, but we got to keep this serialized. So I appreciate the effort, but it didn't allow me to get kind of wrapped up in the heart that I think they were aiming for when it came to Forge and Storm. Like I had sort of at a distance of an appreciation, but again, it was like the emotional connection that I've been finding with X-Men episodes 1 through 3 that was like, okay, is it maybe on a rewatch? I don't know.
It's still good and I still enjoyed it, but I definitely found that the meta comedy in the first half was so different than a drama love story that
right.
It really didn't allow me to pull myself in a direction. I felt like I was being pulled apart. Like those were such different stories that the issue I think was also like, I know Life Death well enough that when it said it in the opening credits, I was watching the movie, the first half going like, how are they going to go? And then when it happened, I was like, why would they? And then by the time I did, I was like, did it feel? And nothing ever like stuck. It all felt like it was moving around. And I think that a 20-minute episode about Mojo and 20-minute episode about Life Death, even a week apart, would have felt more full than splitting a 30-minute in half.
That's very true. Hey,
just cool. A week apart.
Why don't you lay down a little bit more opinions for a little while?
Okay.
Well, Greg's multitasking.
Death is a really interesting comic that deals with these beautiful painting-esque. It's the art is stunning.
That's cool.
And they captured some of that. That's a positive. The backgrounds, the vibe, those experiences. But if you think about it from a visual standpoint, making a meta commentary on nostalgia and using pixels and making things that are visual humorous plays and then going into like painted vistas, even from a visual standpoint, it's jarring. So narratively it goes jarring because you're like, nostalgia is dangerous. That could have been its own episode because it's a show. The nostalgia, this is a 97 set show. We're all adults watching a show from our childhood, and new kids discovering it are not going to have that same novelty for the 90s, but it's not for them. This episode was for us. So to be so connected to the nostalgia and the meta and then go to these like painted vistas, it felt really hard to attach to the new slow westerny pace. And then I felt like I couldn't quite believe Forge and Storm because the whole time I kept being like, feel this, remember to feel it. And that was disorienting.
Well, allow me to pitch something to you of what I think they were also going for. Because they had Jubilee in the video game
world,
like the older Jubilee. And then in the storm world, there was like the mirror of the owl. So it's like one was like this beautiful reflection of Jubilee from the future. And then they had this darker reflection of storm in this. I don't know what that owl thing, I don't know what that is, but it's a very like voice, but
druggy,
but it's like a psychedelic,
yeah,
psychedelic symbolic thing of
conquer thyself
something. With, yeah.
Tune in next week.
I'm not sure what was happening there, but I was like, neato. So she is the owl. That's cool.
I like that.
And her and Forge have a romance.
Yes. And like theirs is really beautiful. It actually leads into a lot of the really great Jim Lee 90s stuff. Like they have a really beautiful cover where it's like them kissing, but they put them like kind of in the background. So there's a lot of empty space and you just feel that like loneliness of their romance because of the empty space in the frame.
Yeah.
And I really like when art is has the room to breathe. So that also their romance always had the room to breathe. The art in the comics always kind of like made them feel a little outside of everyone else's relationships, kind of in the foreground. Obviously Jean and Scott's and Wolverine, like, you know, being this little lovesick puppy. Wolverine and Storm even have a relationship that feels more present. Forge, it always felt like a thing that could not be. And because of that, I would have loved a whole episode leading up to that betrayal and kiss, or like leading up to this, why can't this be?
Yeah, because they were attempting to have that like more patient pacing with it.
Which I appreciated a drama in animated form.
Yeah, but again, yeah,
it's the swing. It's the pendulum that swung.
It is just so completely the opposite.
Yeah.
And maybe there are guys out there like who watched it who had no issue adjusting to it. And it wasn't like it was an issue of adjustment. It was like it was an issue of impact, I think, is more of what I would lead it down to, you know. And that was about it. Hello there, esteemed viewer of The Real Rejects. I, Greg Alba, language connoisseur and worldly gentleman, am here to bestow upon you the secrets of Babbel. Babbel is an engaging language learning app designed for real-life conversations, offering quick 10-minute lessons tailored by linguistic experts to effectively teach you a new language. Its conversation-based approach, enhanced with speech recognition technology, makes Babbel worth trying for anyone looking to learn at their own pace, anytime, anywhere. My dear friends, in this age of monolingual mundanity. Babbel is our beacon of hope, crafted by an army of over 150 language experts. Their lessons are like linguistic caviar, rich, refined, and oh so satisfying. Personal tale of triumph. I once whispered sweet nothings in Spanish, or for the layman, Espanol, to my wife, courtesy of Babbel. Her reaction, well, I'll tell you, she was utterly bewitched. Greg, you silver-tongued devil, no paraphrasing. She exclaimed such vocabulary as I bask in the glory of my perfect pronunciation. Because Babbel isn't just about learning words. It's about embracing the art of conversation with podcasts, live classes, and a veritable smorgasbord of interactive lessons. I know the words I'm saying. And their speech recognition? It's like having a personal language butler, ensuring every syllable is impeccably crisp. Now brace yourselves for an offer of monumental proportions. Here's a special limited time deal for our viewers and listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription. But again, only for our viewers at babbel.com/rejects. 55% off at babbel.com/rejects. Spelled BABBEL.com/rejects. Rules and restrictions may apply. Join me, the Greg Alba, the adventure of language mastery at Babbel. We shall not just learn no, nay, we shall conquer the world of communication. Or as they say in Spanish, comunicación. We're done with this ad.
Yeah, I'm still really glad to see Life Death. I'm still excited for part two. I really liked the really fun commentary and nostalgia and how dangerous it is to just live for the past. I really, really, and this is something I've thought about a lot, I personally don't rewatch shows a lot. I don't have the same comfort shows like The Office and Parks and Rec and stuff like a lot of people do. If The Office is on, I might catch one or two a month. Maybe a quarter. I just don't watch shows again. And then the line about like escaping the cliffhanger that you know is going to come and the reliving that comfort, I totally get how people enjoy that, but repetition drives me brain crazy because I feel like I'm not living my life. Even in watching something new, you're at least living the emotional through line. So it was really ironic that I was like, oh, an emotional through line. And then the emotional through line felt like it dropped it.
Yeah.
So like, I personally don't rewatch a lot because I like living those highs and lows for the first time more than I like the comfort of rewatching. So it was really ironic that Life Death followed and felt like it was kind of a revisit because of the comic.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. But overall, when it came to the Motendo episode, did you like it, though?
The Motendo element, really liked Life Death. I'm hoping the second part pays off enough that it'll make the whole feel better. But this would be my What's tricky is this show has been like an A so far, and it's really impressed and surprised me. This was like a B. Like, it's still not bad. I just, it's the bar has been so high for 1 through 3 that I feel like this skidding to a B feels way more of a drop than it actually is. Yeah, other shows getting a B is like, oh, good. I'm glad this was a B. I'm glad this was good. But when this drops, I'm like, what happened?
It was interesting getting Mojo in here, and there's something about her presence in particular. If I recall from the, at least from the original show, she was, they really honed in on like feeling like a satire of, and they still do that here, like executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was funny is they were carefully crafting their lines where at times it was like, this sounds more like a commentary of producers today.
So yeah.
They even had like a full canceled line.
Which is definitely not of 97.
Yeah, that's not a 97 sentence. It was like, that's a today sentence.
It was definitely for our audience to go, cheeky.
Yeah. But then while having the nostalgic throwback to like the video games, the pixels.
I loved the sound design in this episode. The sound design, the music changing, the sound design of the fights and the battles and like the 16-bitting things was so great.
That's the word, 16-bit. Keep saying pixel. 16-bit.
That 16-bit energy was strong. And I really liked that stuff. So I don't want people to think this was just a negative for me. It's just the ending just felt so like a different show. So I wish it had been 2 episodes.
And I'm liking that they're having Storm earn her powers back after
not
what
just
happened.
Like, boop.
Yeah. And I think at least watching again the trajectory of how I think the original show might have handled it, I think it might have, like, Storm was always a strong character, but there was a lot of like wallowing that she would do.
Yeah. So Jean's always fainting. Storm's always wallowing.
They would have the women wallow.
Like that they gave us the Jean mislead by having the one that faint be the real one, though.
And I like how Storm was at least being reactive in these situations. Like, there was still sorrow. There was still a yearning to, you know, get her powers back and all these things.
But a commanding sorrow.
Yeah, there was still like agency to her characters.
Yeah.
And I like how she didn't like just accept the love from Forge right away.
Right.
Like, it took her, like, she rejected it flat out. And also from Forge only being in the Days of Future Past episodes, if I'm not mistaken, in the original series, it is cool to like go back. Like, they're doing that with Bishop.
And I love his voice. Forge. The actor's strong. I really liked Forge here. I liked all the pieces a lot. It just, I think putting all the pieces together was a little jarring for me.
Yeah.
It was like a double feature. It was like, Death Race and Planet Terror. I'm like, what is happening?
Things I was actually thinking of that. I was thinking of Grindhouse.
It's very Grindhouse-y.
I remember the first time I watched Grindhouse. Like, I loved Grindhouse, and it took me a while to adjust, though.
To watch it as an entirety.
Like, go from, like, crazy B-movie pulp zombie flick to, wow, we were watching something that's remarkably slow right now.
And you know what this could have had? Commercials in between in Mojoverse.
Oh, yeah.
It could have done the Grindhouse thing and actually been a little bit cleaner.
It could have embraced it a tiny bit.
Like, put a Pizza Hut commercial in the middle for the 90s
Pizza Hut. You guys could have animated more for us.
That's what we want.
You guys could have done more work for us. Now we just sit here criticizing the thousands of employees who worked on this.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame on you.
And they watch this, so we're talking directly to those that watch this.
Yeah, those who watch this.
Because we talked to some of them at WonderCon, and they're delightful people.
We did meet a couple of them.
And we love you and appreciate your work very much. I'm sorry we had to say a couple
but
slightly
shame on
but
you.
Shame on you. I hope by next week you've rewritten the next episode for us.
I think we handled it fair and delicately. I think we did our best.
I also think that maybe we should make a Storm video of some kind about how great when she doesn't wallow.
We got Koi's Comic Corner coming back, guys, and so keep a lookout for that.
Storm-centric.
But I mean, I throw it to you guys. Did you absolutely loathe and hate this episode the same way Koi and I did? Leave your comments down
below.
Are
you quitting the MCU?
Are you? Did they just go too woke here? Leave your thoughts down below. Subscribe, click that bell, and hey, join us next week where hopefully Koi will be here. You'll know what I mean next week.
We'll all find out together.
See you guys.